Hello, this is Gilbert O'Sullivan, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
With a career spanning 55 years and counting, revered singer-songwriter Gilbert O'Sullivan is still delighting fans with new music and international performances at the age of 78. The Irish-born musician first found mega success in the UK and US with 70s hits Alone Again, Naturally, Claire, and Get Down. His latest album, Songbook, pays tribute to those early songs by including pared-down versions of 11 tracks from his outstanding catalog, and one new one, A Kiss is a Kiss. We were lucky enough to sit down with the illustrious artist virtually to talk all about it, as well as his current tour and what's to come next. This is The Life Minute with Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Well, we're in my studio in Jersey, which is in the Channel Islands. That's where we're talking to you from.
Tell us about Songbook.
Well, it's a stripped-down version of many of my best-known and well-known songs, plus one new one. Just a project that started last year. We did a concert in London, a Barbican, which is a well-known theatre, and the head of the record company was there. And the concert consisted of myself on piano and the guitar player, Bill Shanley, just the two of us. We've been doing that last year and the year before, doing it this year, and we do it again next year. So anyway, after the concert, they really enjoyed it, and they felt that it would be nice to replicate that on record. So that kind of led to us spending a couple of days in a small theater in London, no audience, and over 2 days, a couple of versions of each song. So it was pretty much live, very little overdubbing then, mixed, and there it is. Then it's out.
So are these just like new renditions of the older songs or do they have a new spin on them?
No, they're pretty much how I would play. I mean, I play and sing the way I've always done it. So therefore, nothing that unusual between the two of us up on stage. It's me on the piano singing, Bill on guitar, playing and backing me and stuff. That's the setup, and it works really well. The stripped-down version are kind of nice for people because they get to hear the words clearer. Sometimes you get criticism with the band a bit too loud, and people say, you know, we didn't get to hear, we'd like to hear the words more. So in that sense, it's worked out really well.
And tell us about some of the tracks on it.
So, well, you'll see there's 12 songs, 11 of them are a mixture of old, and then we have one new song. There's no Get Down, which of course was a big hit in America. But it's just an interesting collection, I think, that you've got your Nothing Rhymed, you've got Alone Again, you've got Claire. There's a couple of album tracks which people are not used to hearing from particular albums and stuff. So I think the mix is quite good. I hope so anyway.
Then you also have releasing some music videos for them as well.
Well, I'm not involved in that. So I've seen the video for A Kiss is a Kiss, and I thought that was quite nice. It's not my department.
And what is your creative process like?
It's generally the melody first. I think that will dictate pretty much how the lyrics will go. Occasionally, you have a title. I mean, there's a song on this album called Dance at Dreams and 45s. I always had that lying around and stuff. So by picking up on that, when I felt it was a good melody to go with it, that kind of led to me doing that. But mostly it's the melody. It's will kind of set out how I want to approach it lyrically.
And what inspires you?
Just good music. To be able to write music, you have to hear and like good music. I don't think you can be a good songwriter if you don't like what's going on around you. I'll buy everything because you're always learning. You know, the way that the marketplace is today, the way the business is today, it doesn't bother me. What I do isn't rocket science. I mean, there are more songwriters today than there ever were when I first started and stuff. I used to say in an audience, how many people in the audience are decorators and stuff? So maybe three hands would go up in a 1500 theater. Say, how many songwriters in here? Hundreds would go up because everybody writes songs these days and stuff, which can be no bad thing if they're good songs. That's the thing I enjoy. It's the key to everything I do. Without the songs, I wouldn't be talking to you. Yeah, I love the craft of songwriting.
What's the key for writing a really great song?
You don't know if it's a great song. What you do is when you've finished what you think is a good song, that in a way is success because that's you, just you. Nobody's heard it. Nobody's involved in it other than you. So when you've written what you think is a good song, that's a nice feeling because that's something you have control over. Whereas when the record is released, it's in the hands of record companies and many others. That's the important factor.
And then, of course, Alone Again, Naturally, huge mega hit. Did you know that one was going to really resonate with people?
No, and you shouldn't know. I mean, that would be worrying if you had that kind of feeling with any song, every other song you'd write after that, you'd be expecting the same feeling. No, all my songs, it's just the writing is there. I was happy with Alone Again. I liked the subject matter. I didn't experience it, but I had an understanding of what somebody might be going through to contemplate suicide. I know the sadness you feel when you lose a relative or a parent. So those kind of issues are interesting as a lyricist to be able to write about them. And there are other songs which are just simple little rock songs or straightforward pop songs. So the variety is the key factor too. Because when we do a concert, it's a 2-hour concert and all the songs are mine. God forbid if somebody out there didn't like them, I'd be in trouble.
How did you first get into music?
Just through a love of it, through the Beatles were the catalyst for wanting to be in a band. When they came on the scene, they could write great songs and they couldn't read music. So we kind of identified with that. And you kind of felt, well, if they could do it, maybe we could do that kind of thing. So that led to it. Then you join a band. I was a drummer in a band, drummer in a second band, drummer in a really good band. That didn't quite work out, which led to me going off on my own to try and break into the music business, coming to London, the big London.
And what was your big break? When did you know you kind of made it?
Making my first record in 1967 was a thrill. It wasn't a hit, but it was an experience that I hadn't had at that point. A big time producer, musicians. So I enjoyed the experience, learned from that. Went through to a point in 1969 after failure here and there on the way up that I needed solo representation. So Gordon Mills, who managed Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck, I wrote to him as the manager of the biggest solo artist in the world to see if he would be interested in me. And he's an ex-songwriter. He co-wrote It's Not Unusual for Tom Jones. So he knew about songs. So while he didn't like how I looked, he liked the songs and he invited me to his home. I had to play more than he had heard on the tape to be sure that I was good enough for him. And that led to the first success that I had in 1970. So that was a major good decision.
And what do you think has given you such longevity in this industry?
I think it's the fact that I write songs which are, people seem to like them. I'm not dependent on the past. If I couldn't write songs now, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd become a gardener or something. I don't know. But it's the songs that keep me going. It's the songs that interest me. People seem to like them, which is, you know, when you're making new albums, I think somebody told me I've done about 21 albums now. So it's nice that the current albums you're putting out in the last couple of years and this year, they're critically well received. So I think that's a positive thing going forward.
And what do you think have been some of the highlights of your career?
I go right back to the first record. That was a highlight. The first cover of one of my songs by a very well-known American singer called Tom Rush. He promoted people like James Taylor and stuff. So he did one of my early songs. That was a big thrill. But I suppose the best thrill would have been to have the first success with a song called Nothing Round, which was a major hit all around Europe, not in America, but pretty much everywhere else. So that was an incredible feeling to get that.
And who have been some of your favorite people to collaborate with and perform with? And is there anyone else you have yet to collaborate with that you'd love to work with?
I don't write with anyone, so I only have to look at myself to be able to write the songs. But performing wise, I mean, I have guest appearances to come on stage occasionally to sing a song with me. So we have an Irish singer called Seamat. She's a girl singer who's becoming very popular. She came on stage when we did Glastonbury a couple of years ago. That's pretty much limits my. I mean, for example, on the current album, we have a duet with Mick Hucknall from Simply Red. That was a nice feeling. And we have another song as a duet. So duets are coming up. It's nice to meet people who are successful, who would like to be recording with you. So that's pretty much how we move forward.
And you're touring right now. What can fans expect from the show?
Well, they get a mixture of fast, slow, medium, funny, serious, over 2 hours, break in the middle. As I say, that the simplicity, the up close and personal approach seems to work really well. Audiences seem to like that approach with us. Long may that continue.
And do you have any pre-show rituals or ways to protect your voice while touring and on the road?
Yeah, well, no alcohol. So alcohol is out. Exercise important. I do voice exercise, which I have on a screen given to me by a teacher. So I do those every day because the voice is the key factor. Without the voice, you're in trouble. I'm 77 years of age. As one gets older, it becomes more difficult. So you have to work really hard. And I do work hard to retain that good vocal element because without that, I think I would stop. It's the most important factor after writing the song.
And how else do you stay healthy? Would you eat healthy, work out?
Well, a good family life. My wife is a good cook. I like my tea with milk and sugar. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's not a very adventurous. But touring wise, it's just look after yourself, make sure you get a good night's sleep, watch your voice, but don't talk too much before shows and stuff. And I have to watch that. I do occasionally forget words on stage. I do occasionally go wrong on the keyboard. But Bill, who's with me on guitar, will always help me out, put me back on the right track when I go wrong. Sometimes I have those moments when I completely forget what I should be doing next. I look at him, he'll point out. So those kind of things tend to happen. But I always make a laugh out of it. I'm never concerned about it. If I make a mistake, you know, I'm not worried. I mean, it's live. I say to the audience, well, it's great. That's what's great about live. You can make mistakes and you can't wipe them out to make it seem perfect.
And sometimes they probably don't even notice if you just
No.
carry on.
That's true. When I've forgotten words, particularly words on a particular verse, I gobbledygooked it. I've just made it up. And you're right. People afterwards haven't come into the dressing room and said, what was that gobbledygook that you should have been singing at that point and stuff? They think it's part of the song.
Yeah, with so many songs, it must be like almost impossible to remember all the lyrics.
Yeah, it can be. I don't have a prompter. I know Elton John had a has a prompter on stage. I think George Michael had one too. I have just notes which are getting bigger on the piano. But at the odd time when I've forgotten something, I have written it out and put it on the piano to make sure that the next time I get it right.
And then what's next for you? Is there anything that you still want to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, promotion-wise, we'll carry on promoting this. We start concerts again on the 12th of this month. We go back to Liverpool, Birmingham, Glasgow, a few other places. And then next year, we'll have a new album, which we'll start recording in the new year. Most of the songs for that I have written. The 12th song on this album, which is a new song, that was meant to be on the next album, but we decided that for the live album, we would put a new song on.
What else does music do for people?
I don't think I'm equipped to really answer that. The key factor is that you have to like something. I mean, when I got interested in music, it was just liking what I heard on the radio. I mean, the Everly Brothers are fantastic, early Beatles, fantastic. So those are the big buzz, the influences you have as you go through your life. So it's always about music you hear, certain tracks by certain people. As I said earlier, I buy everything just to like to learn from it. You know, that's how you keep in touch with what's going on. You can't be a contemporary songwriter if you don't like what's going on around you. I'm lucky in that sense that I buy everything, and there's a lot I buy that I really like listening to.
Is there anyone else currently that you're listening to?
Everything. Yeah, I'm out there with all of them. Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah, her two albums. The production is great. Very contemporary production. That's a cool song. You know, Please, Please, Please. It's a really good pop song. She's a very good pop songwriter. Just like I'm a huge fan of Bonnie Raitt. I always love Bonnie Raitt and stuff. Joni Mitchell. I'm a huge fan of Joni Mitchell.
Do you see any of the grandchildren going into the business?
I was pleased that my two daughters didn't want to go on the musical side because we know the history of your son or your daughter as the son and daughter of a famous person. It's never worked out. Paul McCartney's son, it didn't work out. Paul Simon's son, it didn't work out. Annie Lennox's daughter, it didn't work out. It's difficult. Bob Dylan's son, maybe. No, Bob Dylan's son didn't work out. It's difficult if your parents are well known. So I'm glad they never wanted to do that. But the grandchildren, I mean, they're music mad. Maybe that one day they may well say to their granddad, you know, help me out here. I want to get into the music business.
And then when you're not working, touring, what do you do to relax for fun?
Just go for walks. Family life is good. My daughter Tara does all social media for me, so she works from home. Our other daughter, Helen Marie, a few years older, she works on the publishing side in London. So as a family, we get together for concerts. Usually the family are all together at concerts. For example, we've just done 3 nights in Dublin, and Tara has one son, Benny Ray, who's 4. Helen Marie in London has the two girls, Jeannie and Stevie May. So in Dublin, the nice thing at the end of the third concert, when we were taking the applause at the end, everybody standing up and stuff, the three of them hold hands and they all came out on the stage to wave to the audience. So that was a nice family moment. They loved it. They sing along and yeah. So it's great when your family, you're able to do that and stuff. But otherwise than that, just family life is normal. My wife is good company. So life is good here.
Thank you so
Okay.
much for taking time
Cool.
to do this today.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.